Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, everyone, and welcome to Grace Nurture. This is your host, Danielle. Thank you all so much for tuning in today. If it is your first time being here with us, we welcome you and invite you to continue joining us Monday through Friday at 7 a.m. Grace Nurture is a ministry of the Grace View Church of Christ located in Stone Mountain, Georgia, where Brother Willie Bradshaw is minister. On today, our words of encouragement will be presented by Brother Bryant Tansel. His message is entitled, Before Abraham Was. I strongly advise you to stop whatever it is you are doing to find yourself a quiet corner and prepare to listen to the words God has placed upon his heart to share with us all on today. But before we bring Brother Tansel on the air, I'd like to open the line for prayer requests. If you have a request at this time, please press the number one on your phone, and when the last four digits of your number are called, state the name and need of the individuals for whom you are requesting prayer. Caller 2542, state your request.
Good morning. This is Sister Janice Graham. I want to ask you all to continue to pray for my granddaughter and her health, even though she's getting worried about her situation, but I'm asking you all to continue to pray for her and my family and pray for my health as well as I pray for you all. Thank you.
Thank you. It is my request today, as in every day, that you all please continue praying for each other. Pray for every family represented on the call, that God bless us all in ways that we stand in need of. Pray for our nation, as we have so many different shootings going on in various areas that are impacting so many different people on so many levels. Just ask that God will bless us and give us all a spirit of discernment, that we think about the things that we're doing before we're doing them, and also the consequences of those actions. And now I bring you Brother Bryant Tansel. Brother Tansel, you are on the air.
Thank you, Sister Danielle. Thank you, Sister Graham. And thanks to everyone on the call this morning. I'm Bryant Tansel, and I hope something is said today that just uplifts you and inspires you. You know, this is the most important time of the day, so this helps us get our attitude right and get us heading in the right direction. So today I would say start your day with gratitude. Don't let the devil control your attitude. Let heaven be your altitude, and this will keep you in a good mood. From Tallahassee to Detroit, from St. Louis to Greenville, Tennessee, may the Lord add a blessing for you and for me. You know, yesterday, if you missed the topic from Brother Ben Griffin talking about the sin virus, you missed a clinic yesterday. And man, there's a lot of directions you can go with this sin virus, and we know a lot of people are affected by it. And I'm going to get into the lesson here in just a moment. But it caused me to look up viruses because, you know, we see this acted out in shootings and the way we treat each other here on Earth. And from Medical News Today, it says viruses are microscopic organisms that exist almost everywhere on Earth. They can infect animals, plants, fungi, and even bacteria. And sometimes a virus can cause a disease so deadly that it's fatal. Other viral infections trigger no noticeable reaction. And a few facts on viruses. They're considered the most abundant biological entity on the planet. There's no cure for a virus, but vaccination can prevent them from spreading. Regarding transmission of a virus, we know it transmits from people to people, animal to animals, possibly. A virus exists only to reproduce. And when we're talking about the sin virus, we're talking about sometimes an infection of the mind, as we see, again, this acted out in racism and in shootings and the way people treat each other. When it reproduces, its offspring spread to new cells and hosts. And viruses may transmit from person to person and from mother to child during pregnancy or delivery. They can have long-term effects on a person. So just remember that, you know, we're battling the sin virus, and knowledge is power. So thank you for listening today. And we open up here with Before Abraham Was. And we may not finish this lesson, but if not, we will continue it next week. And that starts in the book of Genesis, chapter 1 through 11. Father Abraham, that's how the Jews referred to this great man who lived almost 4,000 years ago. Abraham was the father of the nation of Israel. He lived before other great men like Moses and David, but do you know who was greater than Abraham? Jesus, of course. And our Lord refers to Abraham in an amazing statement in John 8 and 58. He says, "Before Abraham was, I am." By saying this, Jesus was claiming to be eternal. You see, there was never a time that Jesus did not exist. He's the Son of God, but that does not mean he's any less God than God the Father. Jesus has always existed, and that makes him greater than Abraham or anyone else. Before Abraham ever lived, Jesus already existed, always existed. Abraham's story begins in chapter 12 of Genesis. For now, let's focus on the chapters before Abraham was. So the five stories of Genesis 1 through 11, it's a complete section all by itself. It contains five of the ancient stories that take place so long ago, no one knows when they actually occurred. They're so old that some people don't think they took place at all. But Jesus certainly did, referring to them as historical facts. And sometimes this section here is called the primeval history, because primeval means relating to the earliest stages of human history. Alternating between each of the five stories is a genealogy. And genealogy is a kind of literature we don't really get too excited about. It's a listing of fathers and their descendants. For now, just know that these long list of names are there, and they are very important for your future studies as we continue to talk about these lessons. So let's look at the five stories. The first one is the creation. The very first verse of the Bible raises more questions than answers sometimes. It assumes that God has always existed. In the beginning, God, he has always existed. Everything else was created by him out of nothing. You see, he started with absolutely nothing and created everything. So this is a very majestic description of creation. Its careful structure and organization is further emphasized by the same phrases that occur again and again. That's why you hear it over and over. There's 6 days of creation that follow, and it's very organized. The first 3 days parallel the last 3 days rather nicely. And everything was created in the order that the life needed to exist. And here's the best part. Us, we are part of it. The culmination of creation is when God makes man. Nothing else is made in the image of God. Let me say that again. Nothing else is made in the image of God, but we are. We don't simply act on instinct. We have the ability to choose between good and evil. We're not an afterthought, but are in fact the pinnacle of God's glorious creation. God's final observation of his creation is that it was very good. It wasn't just good, it was very good. Unfortunately, because of man, it wouldn't stay that way, as the next story will reveal. So as we look at Adam and Eve, Moses writes in the style of his day. One of the literary features of the ancient Near Eastern writing, and as you remember, Moses and the Hebrews all lived on the Eastern Hemisphere, is a doubtless story. It's a neat literary effect that provides an account of the same event, but from a different perspective and with additional details. We've already had one creation account that God told us that God created man in his image, both male and female. We're now formally introduced to the first human couple in the second account, the creation of Adam and Eve. And Adam and Eve are seemingly created simultaneously in the first creation account. A contradiction? No, just a different perspective. God created Adam from the dust of the ground and Eve from one of Adam's ribs. And the first man and woman were fully formed and didn't start out as babies. And so technically the second creation starts around Genesis 2 and 4. It's a subtle change if you know that notice the name God, which was used 35 times in the first story, is now changed to Lord God. But it's very important that you see this fact. The entire mood of the second creation account is very different from the formality of the first creation account. God is more personal. He provides us with his more personal name, Lord God. He doesn't just speak everything into existence. Now he forms man from dust, plants the Garden of Eden, and waits to see what Adam and Eve would do. This personal God wants nothing more to have a personal relationship with his creation, and nothing has changed. That's exactly what God wants from us today. He wants us to love him and obey him from our heart. Unlike animals, we can choose between good and evil. Otherwise, we'd be mindless robots that can only be good all the time. But because we can choose to do good, we can also choose to do evil. And that's exactly what Adam and Eve do in Genesis 3. So as we talk about the fall of Adam and Eve, as you know, a new character is introduced in Genesis 3 and verse 1, the serpent. And this is where the sin virus comes in. This is the devil acting through the serpent, the very same tempter of humanity who's still at work in the world today. Through his treachery, he helps to forever mar God's beautiful creation. Moses wrote in the Hebrew language the Hebrew word for crafty, sometimes translated as subtle or cunning. In Genesis 3 and 1 is arumim. And the Hebrew word for the naked in the previous verse, Genesis 2 and 25, is arum. Do you hear the similarity between these words? In verse 25, it says, "And the man and his wife were both arum and were not ashamed. Now the serpent was more arumin." So all the New Testament writers delighted in these subtle play on words, even though we can't see this pun. I wanted you to know it's there because it links the account of the fall of Adam and Eve with the second creation account. And Adam and Eve are about to make a huge mess of things, and the Lord God is going to have to clean up after them. So we're going to pick up there with the sin virus the next time. This is the first one that actually occurred that's documented, and it's very important that we don't get affected by this thing in our lives. We thank you for all of the messages that come from the brothers, Brother Roger Jones, Brother Patrick Medlock on Tuesday, Brother Willie Bradshaw on Wednesdays, Brother Benjamin Griffin on Thursdays, and on Fridays, Bryant Tansel. We're so glad to bring you these messages, and we all pray that they inspire you and uplift you. So let's bow in a word of prayer today. Father, we come to you in prayer for Sister Janice Graham. We pray for her granddaughter's health, that she may just continue to be strengthened by you, and to be able to get through her health concerns and health issues that she's battling here on this earth. We know, Lord, that health is the thing that really is the thing that takes us out. It can cause us to miss a day of work. It can cause us to not be at school. It can cause us to be bound at our home or in a hospital or in a facility where others have to care for us. We pray that her daughter is able to get back to the wanted strength, health and strength that she wants to have. We also pray for her family. We pray for Sister Graham's health as she worries about her family. And we know the moms are the centerpiece of the families, and they are the caregivers. And oftentimes, Lord, they're the last ones to take care of themselves. We pray that you rain down a special blessing for Sister Graham today. We continue with Sister Danielle's prayer for every family on this call. Thank you so much for the listening ears here today and everyone represented. We pray that that our nation, Lord, we pray that this infectious sin virus that caused people to shoot one another and just have the low value for each other's life, we pray that it will disappear, Lord. And as good people continue to talk about this and to figure out ways that we can solve this, Lord, we pray that you can help us make this come to an end and change people's heart to a spirit of discernment. Lord, you know what we need here on this earth. We ask, oh, Heavenly Father, that you grant those needs that we have And we thank you so much for always being there for us around the corner. We may not see you, Lord, but you're always there working on our behalf, and we thank you for that. In Jesus' name we pray today. Amen.
There are some
things
I may not know.
Yeah.